So if I told you that Great Britain's Libby Clegg won gold in the 100-meter sprint with a new world record in the 2016 Paralympics in Rio, that'd be true on paper. But it wouldn't be the full story. Libby Clegg is almost totally blind. So as is practice in the Paralympic visual impairment events, Clegg runs her sprints completely blindfolded. She runs loosely bound by the hand to her guide, Chris Clark. And the video of them running this event is mesmerizing to watch. The two of them hurtle down the track completely in sync, stride for powerful stride, except for right at the end of the last second, Clegg leans herself forward over the line and Clark pulls a little bit back. Clark is Clegg's eyes, but her speed is all hers. And the win and the medal are technically hers too. But you can see in the way that the two embrace each other at the end that their victory is truly shared, born of hours of training and absolute trust. Clegg and Clark and their victory is the Paralympics doing what it does best, transforming something the world sees as a source of dependence into a moment of strength and power and interdependence. The book of Exodus begins with the origin story of Moses, Israel's great deliverer. And one way of telling history is as a series of extraordinary individuals stand in the current of history and shift its trajectory forever. Joseph, Israel, Pharaoh, Moses. But all that focus on great individuals can make us overlook the partnership at the heart of our story from Exodus today. When Pharaoh commands the Hebrew midwives to kill any male babies born to Hebrew women, Shiphrah and Puah, together refuse and resist his orders. Not only do they defy him in secret, they cleverly use his own prejudices against them to hide their deception and to keep saving infants. So how were they able to do this? How were Shiphrah and Puah able to have the courage to stand against a divine dictator? We actually don't know if they were Egyptians who served Hebrew women or if they were Hebrews themselves. The text is ambiguous, the names are also ambiguous. What we know is this: the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. The biblical phrase "feared God" is perhaps best understood by modern listeners as the midwives revered God. It comes from the same etymological root as awe or awesome. Clearly, their sort of fear was not the anxious, paralyzing fear that forces someone to submit against their better judgment, nor was it the same kind of fear as the existential dread that Pharaoh whipped up among the Egyptians so they would lash out in cruelty against the Hebrew slaves. No, Shiphrah and Puah's fear was the source of their courage. Their reverence for God meant that they trusted that God's laws were higher than Pharaoh's, that God's long view of history overrode the political threats of their present moment. Their reverence was their faith, was their conviction, was their courage. And it was there and the and therefore Moses and his people's salvation too. And I cannot help but wonder if the midwives' courage also came from one another. They were risking their lives to stave off a genocide together. They encouraged one another in their faith. They held one another in their shared conviction that innocent babies deserve. they have done what they did were it not for the witness of the other? God accomplishes things through individuals, and God acts through communities and families and partnerships too. Now, I suspect when people hear a priest talking about the sanctity of partnership, they'll assume I'm talking about either marriage or our partnership with God, a sort of Jesus is my co-pilot situation. And the image of the Paralympic sprinter and a guide is a pretty good one for faith. If your life is anything like mine, there are lots of times that it feels like you're hurtling, blindfolded, full tilt, down a track, praying that God is guiding you toward a finish line you cannot see and away from any brick walls. And yet, I have learned over the years that the way God often does that guiding is with and through other people. It's human beings I'm bound to each day, human beings I need to trust and run alongside. Our lives are made up of all sorts of kinds of partnerships, whether brief interactions or intensive projects or students and teachers or lifelong friendships. The people we need to rely on and trust are not always who we planned on. Your best partner at work is not always your direct colleague or your manager. You can ask any single parent or step-parent or foster adoptive parent who could tell you that parenting partners you end up relying on, not necessarily the ones who created the child. God puts us beside all sorts of people who challenge us and push us and comfort us if we choose to set aside our prideful insistence on independence. In a recent interview, the visually impaired sprinter, Libby Clegg, remarked that people only saw her ultimate moment of victory. They didn't see the months of training that goes into that feat. Clegg and Clark didn't begin by sprinting at full speed. They had to start slowly, jogging at first, learning each other's rhythms, putting in the time to build up their collective trust. And Shipra and Pua's story in Exodus, it only mentions their moment of this triumphant defiance. We don't hear about how they spent years of their lives doing God's work already, day in and day out. As midwives, they would have been in the midst of life and death every day and night, guiding women who were risking their lives to bring new people into the world. They would have witnessed miracles, God's miracles, made real through the blood and sweat and tears of laboring mothers. Shipra and Pua were Israel's deliverers even before they defied Pharaoh. The courageous stance that landed their names in history was simply an extension of the life of faith they were already living. The work of faith is made up of everyday acts of love that prepare us for the big moments of truth. And that work is often done in partnership. And the leadership here at St. Mark's has convinced me of the transformative power of partnerships. You have taught me how partnerships make the work sustainable in the long run, and how they prepare our parish right thing when it matters most. There's our two co-senior wardens, Chris and Dan. I love how they rely on each other, hype each other up, bring out the best in each other's complementary gifts. And we're all still benefiting from the vision and efforts of the powerhouse team that was my predecessor, Father Peter and his senior warden, Sue Schneider. And there's Meg and Meg, the dynamic duo of St. Mark's Book Club, and our outreach co-leaders, Claire and Lori. And there's new leaders too, Donna and Linda, who are heading up the 5K fall fundraiser, and Deb and Meg, who we intended to bless today and send out as a pair for Eucharistic visitations, Then there's our treasurer team. When Melinda stepped out of her comfort zone and into the new challenge of serving as St. Mark's treasurer last year, she began to carefully identify the parts of the job that she felt least confident in. And then she found someone who would both mentor her in the building those skills and take on the roles she didn't connect with. And Don Edwards, for his part, said yes. And we don't see a lot of the behind-the-scenes work they do together, but we all benefit from their everyday striving and their big victories. Partnerships in ministry give us courage to take on challenges we otherwise turn down. They prevent us from burning out from loneliness and exhaustion, from having it feel like it all falls on our shoulders. After all, even Moses didn't say yes to God without first being assured he could recruit his brother Aaron to fill the gaps in his leadership skills. Church, at its best, means you don't have to do God's work alone. But it does mean you have to trust, and you have to train, and you have to walk before you can run. You need humility to ask for help, and the self-awareness to recognize where your gifts end and another's begins. Who has been a partner to you in your work of faith? The work you've done at church, a work out in the world to make it a better place? Take a moment to think of that person or those people and thank God for them. And if you can't think of anyone, take a moment to think about what's gotten them away of you asking for help. Who has been a partner to you in your work? St. Paul famously wrote, "Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Sometimes it will feel like we are running it alone. But other times, God binds us to the people that will guide us over that finish line. Amen."